Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington. So excited to be here with you today. Hey, if you are a loyal listener, thank you. God bless you for tuning in. Sometimes I hear the intro. My wife will listen to messages while she's working out in the mornings. I'll hear the intro or outro and I'll say, man, I mean, it gets a little tired if I'm honest. Like I hear it, I'm like, okay, yeah. So maybe season 3 of the cafe, which would be, I guess, about 6 months from now, maybe we'll just go like no intro. I'll just start talking or preaching or whatever. But thank you. If you've been a loyal listener, I appreciate you. And of course, by all means, fast forward through the intro and outro if you so choose. But thank you for listening. And if you're new to the program, thank you for tuning in. We're simply a Bible study. We go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and this is season 2. In season 1, we looked at more topical things, just scriptures that help us have a application in day-to-day life, and it's the same format, 15 minutes, looking at the scripture verse by verse, typically, comparing scripture with scripture, but more topical, and then now, Lord had put on my heart the start of this new year to go through from Genesis to Revelation. And here we are. We wrapped up Genesis 12, and I'm thinking Genesis 13, we're going to move along quite fast. So I don't know what that means, because then we'll just be on Genesis 14. So, you know, I don't know why I keep updating on the numbers, but just bear with me as we get through the organizational aspect. The Bible is both kind of simple in the sense it's 66 books, and yet so deep that it's inexhaustible. And it's just, I look at this and I'm just like, wow. I mean, this is, so we're going to get right to it. Genesis 13 verses 1-4. I'm going to read that and then we'll take a break and we're going to look at all this cool stuff coming from this chapter. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Okay, and so that's Genesis 13, 1-4. That's our focus today. And we see here Abram went up out of Egypt. Why? Well, we spent some time talking about that. Pharaoh was plagued because he took Sarai as a wife. And Sarah is the chosen vessel for God to deliver the promised child, Isaac, who will then have Jacob and Esau. And Jacob will then be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is God's chosen people. You know, in my morning Bible study, I was reading about in the latter part of the Old Testament, in Zechariah, I believe it is, about how Israel is the apple of God's eye. It literally says that. And I've got to look it up, and we're already kind of behind on time. But I love that verse, you know, because there's so much, I don't know, the word, I kind of think of like colloquialism. I don't even know if that's a word. That is a word or phrase that is not formal or literary, typically one used in ordinary or familiar conversation. I don't know if that's the right word, but these things that we hear, like these little terms, how many of them are from the Bible? So many of them are from the Bible. And we see here in King James, I mean, certainly it's the earliest version of that phrase I've ever heard. Let's see here. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that refers to Israel, God's people. This is Zechariah 2, 7-9, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. Ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. It says here, for he that toucheth you, that be Israel, toucheth the apple of his eye. Whose eye? God's eye. Amen. Israel is the apple of his eye. It's God's chosen people. And I believe with all my heart, God is not done with Israel, and that God will retake his people. The whole Bible points this. I love people that like somehow, I say love sarcastically, but I think it's funny how people somehow concoct that God doesn't love the Israelites or he's done with the Israelites or whatever it is. I don't know what they call that, replacement theology or whatever, but look, the whole Bible points to God's love for Israel, and Israel being adulterous and turning away from God is no different than people here today. I know many people that would be classified as Gentiles that have gone far, far from God, and he's not done with them either. And so there'll be a time, I believe, after the rapture where God will turn his attention again to Israel. God loves Israel. Amen. And Sarai was to be the mother of Isaac, to be the grandmother to Jacob, to be the great-grandmother to the 12 tribes of Israel. I hope I said that well. I was just kind of going off the top of my head there. She's a chosen vessel. She marries Pharaoh. She gets into the harem because Abram had lied, and so there's a consequence for that lie. And now they're expelled. God plagues that whole family. God knows how to press that button, to twist that wrist, to just go ahead and make it so painful you cannot take it anymore. God can do that. He made us, okay? He knows every point in us, amen? And so he does that to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, you get out right now and don't give me anything back. I don't want my gifts back. I just want you to go, 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 go. Very similar to how Pharaoh speaks to the Israelites many years later in the Exodus account. But they leave, and now here it is in Genesis 13. Abram's going out of Egypt with his wife, all that he had with Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and gold. So we see that he's leaving with everything he had, and that he's very rich. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. Okay, now it says here south a few times. And when I read this, and I'm no geography whiz or anything. I mean, I have a very simple knowledge of a map. I don't even like to travel too far. Like, I'm good. Let's go to Myrtle Beach or maybe Charleston. You know, hey, okay, we're going to go a big trip. Go to Georgia. Amen. They got a few beaches out there, like Tybee and, you know, Savannah's beautiful. Florida, that'd be a big trip. You know, I have to go up and see relatives in maybe New York, but I'm pretty good, like right here on the East Coast. I don't need to go far away. So again, I'm not the most world travel person ever. I've been to Europe one time and so forth. I've been to Mexico one time, but I really have not been a lot of places. But when I read this, I said, you know, that's interesting. Verse 1 of chapter 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And what we'll do is we'll take a break and we'll tackle that as soon as we come back.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so I went on a little bit long there, but here's what's interesting. Abram went up out of Egypt, right? And so when you look at a map, okay, Egypt looks like it would be south of Israel, right? And so just a world map, Middle East, you know, you look something like that up. You can, if you're on a computer or a phone and you're not driving, you can go ahead and look that up. But you can see that the kind of Egypt being in one place looks kind of down, right, from where Israel would be, right? And it's interesting, Israel being so small, you kind of have to squint to spot it, which is a whole message in and of itself. Amen. There's a huge message there about how God's remnant is his people, and his people is much smaller than most anyone would ever imagine and all these things. But for time's sake, and that is, again, a very important topic, but for time's sake, you just see here you have Egypt looking downward from Israel. But you have this area, Sinai area, and you have what's called the Negev, which is like this dry area, okay? It's a hot, dry region in the southern part of Israel. And there's a good article on gotquestions.org about Negev, N-E-G-E-V. But I was also looking at maps in Britannica and all kinds of stuff this morning because it really interested me. You know, if they went south, I would think that's down, but they're going kind of up. But Negev is referred to as south or dry. And that's where they went. And this is a desert, essentially. It's a wilderness desert, and that's where they went. And so if you want to get very technical, which, again, I probably spent more time studying this than I needed to, I don't know, depending on your translation. So the KJV, what we use here, King James Cafe, describes it as south. The NIV is Negev. ESV is Negeb, normally the name for this territory. Get into the original translation, if you would, or the manuscript. I read I think it was, I don't know if it was from Hebrew, but it was some other language, and it said basically Negev. It didn't say south. So they're going back to where God had called them to go, all right? And this place is still able to be seen today. It's the largest region in the modern state of Israel, and that's according to Encyclopedia Britannica, which I looked at, and it's huge. It covers 4,700 miles. It's just a big area, and this is where Abram traveled in Genesis 12 when the famine was in the land, and so he's just reversing course. Same way that he came into Egypt, he's going back that way, which makes perfect sense. I don't know about you, but if I go somewhere, especially somewhere unfamiliar, I'll kind of try to remember where I'm going so I can retrace my steps. And there's all kinds of history. It's a fascinating article. If you can look it up on gotquestions.org about Negev, but for time's sake, the deal here is he is going back to where God called him from. The Bible is perfect. The translations are what they are. We don't always get a full picture, but we can trust that, again, there's no contradiction here. It wasn't like the person didn't know what they're writing about. The word desert literally means, in some translations, south, this word Negev. So you have that there. And then we see that Abram is rich. And I like the idea that he's more rich than before. So it says he was rich with cattle, but look, he had he had servants, he had cattle, he had all of this. I want to say back in Ur of the Chaldees, he had all of this in Haran, he had all of this going to Canaan land. And so it's just increased. And when we see, the Bible says what he's rich in, Genesis 13, verse 2. And Abram is very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So when we look at these things, what does that mean? That means that he had wealth in what would have been very valuable in agrarian times, right? Cattle. And cattle could provide food, right? Cattle could also provide an asset, correct? Cattle could also provide offspring to bring in more cattle. And just a few generations later, we read a lot about that, don't we? When we have, I believe it's Jacob, breeding cattle when he's dealing with the dad of one of his wives. And so it's very funny because that also deals with wealth. And it's not like now where if you had a cattle farm, you may think, okay, you're doing okay. But back then, it was an agrarian society. People needed to farm to have food. And if we understand the rich cycle that God provides, and I don't know how to say it other than like renewable cycle or the rich cycle, but everything that like even the cow excretes can be used for fertilizer. And then, you know, all of these things, you know, cow again could be used for meat because we know we're now living post Noah when they were allowed to eat meat again, dairy, milk, and all of these things. And so he had, it says, was very rich in cattle. So that's an asset. And again, I try to think of like a modern day comparison and, you know, stocks, bonds, right? Those are assets. He also had silver and gold. I don't need to explain how that works because that's obviously very valuable then. It's very valuable now. And so he went in rich, he left rich. And what this shows is God's mercy on Abram. Abram made a bad decision and had to face dire consequences. He could have died for his decision, but instead he was just expelled by God's mercy. He's expelled from Egypt. He's kicked out. He's headed back to where God wants him to go. And God says, I'm going to bless you materially. I'm going to bless you through your genes, through your progeny. I'm going to bless you in my word. I'm going to bless you for having great faith. And not perfect, amen, but blessed beyond measure. And it's just such a beautiful picture of God calling his child back to where he wants him to be. And he is going to make it work with Abram, as we're going to see that Abram's going to grow in might and strength. And that he's a very humble man at the same time. So tune in next time. Take care. God bless. And amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place,